Welcome to Power Players in Business and Life with Adrian Richardson, the show where brilliant leaders in business share powerful insider secrets and strategies to succeeding in life and business. Now, here's your host, Adrian.
Hey everyone, I'm your host, Adrian Richardson, founder of the Power Players in Business and Life podcast, where I get the honor of interviewing fascinating, big-hearted people who have brilliant minds. I'm also the founder of Power Play Media, where we create and implement strategic marketing plans for service-based business owners who want to scale their companies to seven or eight figures and beyond using Facebook and Instagram ads. And now let me tell you about today's guest. Rick Cesari has helped major brands go from GoPro to George Foreman, build billion-dollar brands through brand response advertising and strategic video marketing. His book, Video Persuasion, aims to put big brands' proven video marketing techniques into the hands of small business owners, entrepreneurs, investors, Amazon sellers, and others. A best-selling author, speaker, consultant, and a brand and marketing strategy guru, Rick is bringing his expertise to us today to share best practices in video marketing so you can successfully influence your customers and build your brand. So welcome, Rick. It is great to have you here with us today.
Hey, and thank you for having me on your show. And thanks for such a great introduction. I really appreciate it.
Yeah, I mean, it's really clear that you are a power player when it comes to video marketing and building billion-dollar brands. And I'd love to start with just knowing how you got started with video marketing.
Well, that's a great question. I'll try to condense the answer as much as I can because it's really been quite a fascinating journey over about 20 years. But I actually graduated from college with a degree in biology. I wasn't even in marketing. And I after college, I went down to Daytona Beach where my family was living and was just kind of, you know, goofing off. I was a bartender and lifeguard, but I was kind of motivated to do more with my life. And so I started reading a lot of books about motivation and how people made money. And a lot of the books were talking about people making money in real estate. So I started kind of on my own investing in real estate and attending seminars. And I went to this one seminar and this person taught me how to buy distressed property and turn around and sell it quickly. They call it flipping nowadays. Mm-hmm. And I went out and did it and bought a house and sold it and made $12,000 in 2 weeks. And that was like, to me back then, that was like $1 million. And so
yeah.
I was so grateful. I basically called, this was down in Florida. I called a business magazine down there at the time called Florida Trend and told them about this person. And they wrote an article and that helped his seminars take off. And he asked me to start working for him. And so I learned marketing. This will date myself because we were promoting seminars using newspaper ads back
then. Yeah.
but they were also some of the first people that started using television marketing and direct response television and infomercials to promote their seminars. So that's kind of how I learned the business way back in the mid-80s. And kind of after doing that for a few years, I went out on my own looking for my own products and I stole a course on how to make money in the stock market. And then the big hit and the thing that changed my life. And, you know, you hear about people following their passion. I had a passion for health and I started promoting juicing seminars using the same techniques I learned about promoting real estate seminars. And my brother and I started a company called Trillium Health Products. And, you know, we were with the right product at the right time. Mm-hmm. And that company grew very quickly. We created the brands, the Juice Man Juicer and the Bread Man Bread Machine. And it grew to $75 million in 4 years. And then
Wow. We
sold that to Salton Housewares. And then I wasn't planning on getting into the agency business, but people kept calling me and saying, hey, can you help us do our marketing? And so one of the companies that called was a Seattle company called Optiva, and they were the founders of the inventors of the Sonicare toothbrush. Mm-hmm. And so after Sonicare, I've had been fortunate, and I know you've probably experienced this, to work with great products or people over the course of my career. And then, you know, after Sonicare was the George Foreman grill and then OxyClean and Rug Doctor and more recently the GoPro camera. And I helped all of them basically using video marketing in one form or another, whether the delivery platform was TV or online or whatever. So that's kind of a condensed version of how I got into things.
Wow. Yeah. So what do you think is like the unique skill that you have that has helped like you get so good at video marketing and the the progress in the companies you've worked with? Like, what is that unique thing that you bring to the table that has helped you?
That's a really great question, Adrian. And I've thought about that quite a bit. And, you know, one of the things is a curiosity. Like when I meet a new person or product or something, I want to get to know it. And so I think what I am able to do is by talking to people, customers that have been using a product, if I can talk to 10 or 15 people that have bought a product, attended a seminar, whatever, I feel like I have the ability to turn that information into the information that people would want to see or hear if they were interested in buying that product. And I've used video as a way of delivering that message.
So it's kind of like when I was in college and my major, I was actually a biology major too. And then I switched to public relations. We used to do focus groups. So it kind of sounds like you're doing like a focus group where you're going out and you talk to people, you've either used the product or would have a need for the product and really getting to know them on a level of like, not what the people who create the product think people need, but it's like really going to the people and talking about like their problems and their challenges and how the product or the service or whatever can solve it. Is that kind of sound?
You hit the nail on the head. You're absolutely right. And it's not a secret, but it's something that I've used really in every single product, the ones you mentioned in the introduction. The first thing I do whenever I'm consulting with a new company about their product is I'll ask if they have any sales. And hopefully they do, so I can go talk to their customers. And it's kind of, for me, it's one step better than a focus group, because these are actual customers that have purchased the product. Mm-hmm. They bought it for a reason. And if you, like I said, if you sit down and talk to 10 or 15 of these people, and what I do is I have a video camera there. So when I'm interviewing the people and asking them why they bought the product, what they liked about it, how did they hear about it? Would they recommend it to somebody else? I'm recording all this and I'm actually creating some really powerful, authentic testimonials at the same time that I'm learning about, you know, how to sell the product. And so then we can deploy those testimonials. You know, in the earlier days, we would use them in a television infomercial or a direct response ad. Nowadays, you can use them on your website, in Facebook ads, whatever. Testimonials to me, and we can talk a little bit more about that later, are one of the most powerful marketing tools if they're authentic and, you know, actual customers that bought the product.
Yeah. So I was going to ask you about that, because I know in your book, Video Persuasion, you talk about testimonial videos and why they work so well. And I feel like people are afraid to ask others for testimonials, or they don't know how to ask, or and so they avoid them. And then you have people that say, well, you know, they're only asking people for testimonials who've had great experiences, you know. And so I'm really curious about your view on testimonial videos, why they work so well, and like, you know, how can people use them effectively? Like, what if they're feeling a little bit concerned or afraid to ask for a testimonial? Like, what would be your advice to them?
Well, that's a great point. And there's kind of two parts to the answer. And the first is you have to not be afraid to ask. If you have a product or service that you're selling to people and people like it, I've found that if you just reach out and ask them, more times than not, they're going to be very, very happy to talk about it. Because think about how Amazon uses that in their mm-hmm. reviews. If people buy a product and they like it, they're happy to give it a 5-star review. And so I just think that it really boils down to, and I see it all the time still today, that people are just afraid to go talk to their customers or mm-hmm. ask for a testimonial. And if you take that one step, you'd be amazed at the information you learn, not just to help you with your marketing, but even good product feedback. And, you know, in my book, Video Persuasion, I I basically have a 5 email sequence that I you can download that basically, if you have a database of customers, you can send this email sequence out, and it's basically a way of soliciting testimonials. And it's something that I've been using for years and years as a way of doing it. And so, you know, it's kind of proven to work. But I just want to mention the second part of why testimonials are so powerful. I recommend a book to a lot of people. You've probably heard of it, Adrian. It's called Influenced, A Psychology of Persuasion by Robert Cialdini. And he's got 6 persuasion principles in that book, which I talk about in my video Persuasion, how you have to really understand those in order to make your videos work better. But when it comes to testimonials, there's the concept of social proof. And it's really basically the definition of that is just that if somebody's in a situation and they don't know how to react, they're going to look to what another person does and then copy what that person does. And it's a deep kind of ingrained psychological principle. And it's really the reason testimonials work so well, that if you're on a website and you're thinking about buying and you're hesitating, but then you read a lot of great reviews and or see a great video testimonial of other people that like the product, you're going to be more apt to buy it. And so there's kind of a, you know, always an underlying psychological reason for a lot of the things that work when you're creating video or any other type of marketing.
Mm-hmm. What are some, I think you, one thing you said that really stood out to me is you said people are afraid to talk to their customers. And
yes.
And I don't know if that, I think partly people are afraid to talk to their customers because they're afraid to hear something they don't want to hear.
Yeah.
And I think that also technology, although it's amazing and I love everything about it, it has also allowed us to put a little bit of distance between ourselves and our customers, but at the same time connecting us. And I think that if people, and you just said this, like, okay, let's say you ask for a testimonial and the person that comes back to you, it isn't favorable or it isn't what you wanted to hear. That's a really good opportunity for you to look at places in your business where you can improve things.
Absolutely. Yeah.
You know, like people are afraid to hear the bad thing, but it doesn't mean like there's no company on the face of the earth that's perfect and gets it all right. And every one of their customers are happy, you know, it's going to happen. But if you're not communicating with them, you have no idea where to improve, what's going wrong and how to get it so you can get amazing raving reviews.
Yeah, and you're absolutely right. It's kind of a feedback loop. And, you know, the other thing that brings up is a lot of times people are afraid to launch a new business or launch a product or a service until everything's perfect. Mm-hmm. And I'm a big believer in kind of the old saying, you know, build the airplane as you fly it. The customer feedback is vitally important for creating a better product and service. You want to hear, I don't know if you've ever done this, but you know, have you ever taken a survey? And I don't really want to read the good things people say. I want to hear the bad things, so I know the areas that I need to improve and address to make my products or services better. So from that standpoint, it's really, really valuable.
Yeah, no, I totally agree. And you know, the funny thing about asking, when you said, you know, people are just afraid to ask, there's a book that I read when I was in college. I think it was called The Aladdin Factor. And the whole entire book is about asking for what you want. And like the worst thing that's going to happen is that someone says no, and you're still in the same situation you were in, right? You didn't lose anything. Like nothing bad happened.
Yes.
They said no. And it's like, okay. And so the worst thing that's going to happen if you ask someone is they're going to say no. But the best thing is that you're going to get this great testimonial that you can now use, like you said, on your website or wherever, that's going to help you get more customers.
I'm writing down the name of that book. I hadn't heard of that one before, The Aladdin Factor. What you just said is absolutely correct. And you know, there is one other little skill, and you'll probably laugh when I took that year off after college and was a lifeguard. I was kind of like a glorified lifeguard. My main job was I was selling suntan lotion on the pool decks down in Daytona Beach. And basically, if I didn't sell suntan lotion, I didn't eat dinner because it was commission only.
Oh, wow.
And I think one valuable skill that I learned in doing that is how to sell a little bit and sell one-on-one to people. And you know, any salesman will know that you're going to get a lot of rejection until you fine tune your sales pitch. But the only way you can fine tune it is really, you know, talking to people. And when you do get rejected, change it, do something different. So again, it goes back to the rejections are just as important as the positive things.
Yeah. I love that you said it's just feedback.
Yep.
Right? Like people, you don't have to look at it as a rejection. You just look at it as feedback. It's an opportunity to improve.
Mm-hmm.
That's great. That's awesome. So what would you say, you know, for people listening right now that are like, I don't even know what I should put in a video. Like, what are some key components that make a great video?
Okay. Well, let's start. I don't want to bore your listeners, but I just want to kind of cover a few statistics about video just to show people how in our societies become a video first society. We really don't like to read anymore. Every second, almost 17,000 hours of new video will be produced. There's been more video produced in the last 30 days than all the television networks have produced in the last 30 years. Then actually this year, nearly 80% of all internet traffic will be made up of videos. And, you know, that just shows you that video is becoming so important in our society. But then you take it to the next step and it's like viewers retain 95% of a message when they watch it in a video compared to 10% when reading it into a text. Using a video in an email leads to 200 to 300% increase in click-through rates. Including a video on a landing page can increase conversions by 80%. And these aren't my statistics. These come from email platforms like HubSpot and things like that. Mm-hmm. Getting back to your question, what should be in a video? And it really depends what you use it for. But, you know, one of the things that I have is you can get a free download on my website, which is rickcesari.com. But it's the three most popular types of online content, video content. Mm-hmm. And it really boils down into three categories. And one are testimonials, which we already talked about. Two are tutorial videos, which are basically how do you use a product. And the third, and I think the most important, is demonstration videos. And that's basically where you're demonstrating the product, but really showcasing not just the features, but more importantly, the benefits of to the end user of how they will benefit if they purchase your product or service. Mm-hmm. And so I go into real depth in that content, how to create it and things. But so to answer your question, the first thing is that's the type of video content, if you're doing a product or service, that you should be thinking about having on your website. So let's take the next step then. Like you asked a question, what should be in a video? Mm-hmm. And I kind of go back. I read a book when I was in my 20s, How to Win Friends and Influence People by mm-hmm. Dale Carnegie. And I actually took a seminar from him about learning to speak. And, you know, to me, good, interesting video production is like giving a speech from stage or even putting together a PowerPoint presentation. And he had a formula that I still use today. I go into more detail, but basically Dale Carnegie's formula is tell them what you're going to say it, and then tell them what you said.
Yes.
And if that seems very simplistic, it is. But if you think about it, how many times, Aiden, have you watched a commercial either on TV or online and you're watching it and you have no idea what it's about until mm-hmm. the very end and you feel like you wasted a lot of time?
Yeah.
I'm a big believer in telling people right up front in my videos exactly what the video is going to be about and, you know, what problem it's going to solve and what the benefit is to the end user. And if you know that, people know that right away, nobody's ever going to make a video that appeals to 100% of the people. So, but the people that are interested in that will stay engaged and listen to what you have to say in the rest of the video. So I go into big detail in the book about ways of capturing people's attention at the beginning of the video, techniques that you can use, things like that. So, there's a lot of different ways of making video, but a real simple answer is, if you structure it like a talk that you're giving from stage, you'll usually have a lot of success.
Yeah. Well, and you might know the statistic. I don't know what it is, but I know that there's, for instance, when someone's coming to your website or to a landing page, they say that you have like 8 seconds for them to decide if they're going to stay there or not. And some people even say 3 seconds. So I'm sure that the first few 10 seconds or less are probably the most important part of that video, because you need to say something that's going to engage them and pique their curiosity to get them to stay and watch the rest of the video.
Yeah, absolutely. So let me just give you 3 examples, and I go over many different ones, but 3 ways of catching people's attention are, you can ask a question. Would you like more energy? Would you like to sleep better? How would you like to lose 10 pounds? How would you like to be more fit in 30 days? And so you start with a question like that, and then that will engage the viewer, because they're going to wait. If they're interested in that subject matter, they're going to wait to hear the answer to that. The other one is starting with what's called a factoid. And, I have a real example. The first infomercial we made for the Juice Man juice extractor was very, very successful. And we started that video out with something that I had seen on CNN. It said that scientists had discovered an element in broccoli that was shown to prevent breast cancer. So we were talking about juicing fresh fruits and vegetables. We started the video out with that fact. Anybody that was interested in learning more would stay in and watch the video. Mm-hmm. And then, the last way to start a video is to just, tell a story. Because if people get interested in that story, they're going to listen to what the rest of the video has to say. So just kind of 3 little tips about how you can start your videos to engage the viewer.
That's fantastic. So this is some really, really good information and great tips. And I'd like to take a minute to shift our talk just a little bit to talk about challenges, because being a power player doesn't mean that everything always goes well, right? Like, to me, a power player is someone who's faced some big challenges, and rather than being crushed by them, they took that situation, as scary as it may be, and they used it to propel them forward. And so I would like to know, what's one big challenge that you've had to overcome?
Okay. I've had, nobody can be an entrepreneur without overcoming challenges. And, I have literally dozens of them, but different sizes. But probably a really, really big one was back when I was told you I was promoting those real estate seminars. And this was back in Florida in the mid 80s. And when I left to start my own business, because I felt like I was doing all this marketing and making someone else a lot of money. And the person I left sued me, using it as a way of keeping me out of business. And I was young. I didn't have very much money. And I fought this lawsuit. I didn't have much cash. I borrowed money against my mom's house. So she was, putting her in debt. And I finally, in order to stop the lawsuit, I had to declare bankruptcy. This was in 1986. And I was living in Florida. And I was flat broke. And I had an idea to do a television infomercial about how to make money in the stock market. I called up my friend who was living in Seattle. He was in the fishing business. I knew him. We went to college together. He put up the money to make this infomercial, and don't laugh, back then he put up $8,000, and I was able to scrounge, a bunch of favors and make a show back then for that price. And, so we finished the show. I flew out to Seattle. He was up in Alaska. I dropped my suitcases off at his condo. I was flat broke. I owed my mom $50,000. I get up to Alaska and we go out longlining for halibut. We get into a storm and the boat sinks and we have to be rescued by the Coast Guard. Oh my goodness. I get back to the Coast Guard headquarters in Anchorage, Alaska, and it turned out that our show was just running that same week I was up in Alaska, and I called into the telemarketing company, and we had spent like $3,000 on media time. And when I called in, we had generated $12,000 in orders. So I went from being flat broke, in debt, and to
swimming in the ocean.
having a project that I knew would go on to, actually, it went on to do about $5 million in sales. So, you know, the moral of that story, and you know this from being an entrepreneur, is you can't give up. There's going to be obstacles. There's going to be failures. If things, you're going to wake up one morning and it's like you just think it's the end of the world, and you just can't give up, and you have to keep going. And that's, I think, is one of the big secrets to success.
Is that so? When going through that and the lawsuit and the bankruptcy and stuff, and the idea of not giving up, like, what are the thoughts or the actions that you were thinking to yourself that like helped you move through that challenge? Like, what did you know? Like, were you into personal development and mindset back then, or was this just kind of always part of your personality? Like, what helped you move through that challenge and kind of keep
going?
That's
a great question. And I was into personal development from the standpoint that I read a lot of motivational books. The Magic of Thinking Big, books by Norman Vincent Peale. These are early, these are like pre Tony Robbins motivational guys, books by W. Clement Stone. And I feel like the inspiration you get from reading those books are one of the things that keep you going, because they tell stories of people that, you know, started out with failure, but then have become successful. And so I think one of the things that I've always loved to do is read. And I just am always reading books, how to improve yourself. That's why I wrote down the name of that Aladdin book you mentioned. Cause anytime I hear of a new book, I love to read it, cause you always learn something new. So I feel like learning from other people's experience, going to seminars, going to mastermind groups, all that stuff's hugely important. And yeah, I still do it, even though I've had quite a bit of success in my life, because you're always learning.
Yeah, no, I think that's great. I'm the same way. I love to read and to learn and keep growing. And so during the show, I always like to ask two specific questions, and I'm going to ask you not to hold anything back. So these two questions could be the golden nuggets of greatness. These are like the insider secrets our guests are dying to know, and, you know, that could make a difference for them. And so one I want to ask you is, what is your number one power play business advice for our listeners? So it can be anything related to business. So whether it's something related to what you're doing right now with video marketing, or something that you've learned over the years in all the experience and background you've had, like if people are listening right now and you could just give them one little piece of advice related to business, you know, what would that be?
Yeah, I in all my books, I use a lot of different quotes, and because I feel like they pack a lot of information into, you know, a few sentences. And I had a mentor once. I've had many mentors, and he told me once that things are never as good as they seem, and things are never as bad as they seem. And it's been a way of maybe keeping me on an even keel. And it's like, when things are going bad, you know that there's light at the end of the tunnel. And when things are going good, you don't have blinders on. You know that maybe that isn't always going to be the case. So that's been one important advice. And then I have another mentor who said that business is a series of non-fatal mistakes, basically talking about the fact that there's going to be failures. And as long as you survive them, you can keep moving forward. And then one last one I like is a quote from Winston Churchill. And we had talked about persistence. And that was, I think, during the Battle of Britain, he said something like, never, never, never give up. And so I really hold those things and try to run my life by them, especially when things aren't going well, because unless you win the lottery, things aren't always going to go well. And even then, they don't always go well.
Yeah, I like to think about every time I face a challenge or a problem, I just remind myself that it's temporary.
Yes.
Because right. What can happen when we are in the middle of like things that are not going our way is it feels really heavy and we can start to kind of go down that spiral of like thinking that it's always going to be this way. Mm-hmm. And so when I'm in the middle of that, I'm just like, this is temporary. It's not going to be like this forever, you know? So I think that's great.
And eventually you get through it. And that's just a great mindset to have. And then, you know, there's so many different ones I just would love to share that, you know, just one other one. I was fortunate enough to do a program with Jack Canfield, who is the co-author of the Chicken Soup of the Soul books. Mm-hmm. And he was basically... I knew about gratitude, but he really kind of hammered home that message of kind of starting every day being thankful for what you have instead of like thinking about what you don't have. And, you know, just, I don't know, just that's something I always feel like I have a glasses half full positive mental outlook and I'm thankful for the things that have happened in my life. And it just seems that more things then come into my life that way.
Yeah. My next question was going to be, what's your number one piece of advice related to life in general?
And that's right there. Yes.
That's just so good because, and I think that's easy to do. I think it's easy for people. You wake up or whether it's at night when you're going to bed or in the morning when you're waking up, and it's really easy to think about all the things that didn't go your way and all the things that went wrong. And I really believe, and I know you've heard this before, is that, you know, what you focus on, you get more of. Mm-hmm. And when you are focused on the things that are going wrong instead of the things that are going right and the things you can be thankful for, you're focusing on the problem instead of focusing on the solution.
Yeah, that's that was the thing I was doing with Jack Canfield. Was about the law of attraction. And you know, whether you believe it or not, it works. And it's what you think about will manifest itself, I guess.
Yeah. And I think it's hard sometimes when things aren't going well to try to find the things that are going right. But if you kind of make that part of your daily activities, whether you do it at the end of the day or the beginning of the day or whenever you do it, but if you get in the habit of really kind of writing down what you're thankful for, what you're grateful for, what's going right, it becomes easier, right? Like it's easier and easier to focus on it when you start putting attention towards it.
Oh, absolutely. And you know, it's funny. I was reading through Facebook this morning and I read a post about someone that says, hey, you should start every day being thankful for what you have. And it was just kind of tied in exactly to what we're talking about. So I think it's great advice. And like I said, it can be at the end of the day, it can be the beginning of the day, mm-hmm. but just focusing on the positive things and not the negative things.
That's great. So power players, they set their goals high and then they put their full focus and energy on achieving their goals. And so I'd love to know what you're working on right now that you're really excited about.
That's a great question. And I feel really, really fortunate. About a month ago, when I made all the George Foreman grill infomercials, that was a long time ago, probably over 20 years ago. And it was like 1996 was the first one. And then we kept making them for the next 8 years or so. And that grew into a $1 billion business that my previous book, Building $1 billion Brands, we talk about that. But about a month ago, I got a call. I hadn't talked to George in 15 years. And I got a call from his agent. I have no idea why they thought of me. And they said that he was thinking of working with a company to license, be a spokesperson. And the name of the company is called Real Time Pain Relief. And they were going to make a version of George Foreman, knock out the pain formula. But they needed expertise in television marketing. And so they called me up. And to make a long story short, I'm working with them now. And about 2 weeks ago, we were in Los Angeles and we filmed a commercial with George, and he's just a great guy to be around, very mm-hmm. positive, will never say anything negative about anyone. And the commercial is going to be coming out, you know, probably in about 2 weeks. You can see it on ESPN and probably a lot of other places. So that's you know, you asked what I'm most excited about. That's a project I'm working on right now that kind of brings back great memories of previous success and the hope that we'll have a similar type success with this new product that we're marketing.
That's so cool. Yeah, I can't wait to see it. And then the other thing is that your book, Video Persuasion, just came out. And so tell us more about why you wrote the book and who should read it.
Yeah, that's fantastic. You know, we talked earlier in the interview about how we're a video first society. So what I've done is really, I'm very proud about this book. It's over 300 pages, and don't let that intimidate you because it's very user friendly. And it's really kind of encapsulating everything that I've learned about making videos work. And so what that means is, if you're an Amazon seller and you're using video, it'll make your videos convert better. If you're basically in e-commerce or you're trying to create Facebook ads, it's everything that I've learned doing video marketing over the last 20 years that I've put into this book with step-by-steps and on how to do it and why you should have certain content and how to create great demonstration videos. And I'm really excited about the book because, sometimes I get lucky. It feels like the right book at the right time because everything is so moving towards video in our in our society. And this is like a how-to manual on how to produce videos that get people to take the action that you want, based on not only my experience, but then the underlying psychological principles we talked about.
That's great. I love that you said it's like this how-to manual because people can be intimidated by video, right? Like they worry about what they look like. They worry about what they're saying. They worry about all the technical stuff that goes with it. And so
Those are all things I answer in the book. It's like why, how to be your own spokesperson, why that's important, why you're going to get a better return. The technical part, I want all your listeners to know that I'm not a technical person, but technology has advanced so much that there's so many different online apps that help you create video and you can use your iPhone. But we're not talking about making, you know, videos of your family vacation. These are videos that you're going to use in your business to get people to take the action that you want. And then I talk about a whole chapter about the technology and how you can make your own videos, even if you have no prior experience. And like I said earlier, the best, you know, you'd asked me the best place to get it right now is on Amazon. But if you want more information, I write a weekly blog that's got covers a lot of the things we talked about today. Lots of information that's on my website, which is rickcesari.com.
That's great. And we'll put a link in the show notes, to where people can get the book on Amazon and also to your website so that they can make sure and make it easy for everybody to get it. I want to ask you one last question, and this is just a little fun question. People love cool tips and apps or software. And so do you have any kind of favorite tool or software you use in your business, and why is it your favorite?
Yeah. So a couple of things. One is more of a learning there, you know, I'm pretty much working with video all the time, and I discovered a really cool, app that called Content Samurai that allows really anybody to make video. You can basically take a blog that you wrote, plug it in, and they can turn that into a video, and you can put your own voice in there. And they've made it really, really easy. So I cover a lot of those in the book like that, but that's one that I use. But then also I learned, we talked about earlier, I subscribe to something called the Video Marketing Institute, and you can look that up online. And if you're interested in starting a YouTube channel, creating video, doing video marketing, it's really got the most up-to-date information that there is. And so those are two things that I use pretty much on a daily basis.
That's great. So Content Samurai and the Video Marketing Institute. And then, of course, in your book, you have a bunch of other really cool things to do as well. to use.
Absolutely.
Awesome. Well, Rick, I just want to thank you for being on the show today. You've shared a lot of great stuff from testimonial videos and moving through challenges and your fabulous book, Video Persuasion, that everybody should go out and get. Like I said, we'll put a link to it in the show notes underneath this interview. And I know our listeners will be moved and motivated by what you shared. And I just want to thank you, Rick, because you are a power player.
Hey, thank you. And thank you for having me on your show. I really enjoyed it.
All right. Well, everybody, we will see you on the next show. Thank you for being here today. And I'm your host, Adrienne Richardson. And have a great day, guys.
Thanks for listening to Power Players in Business and Life. Be sure to click subscribe. To learn more about Adrienne, visit www.wearepowerplay.com. We'll see you next time.